There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, Chrissy Andrews to join us later this hour to talk about the process. Well, Vinny talked to us about the process of them coming up with the lines here on Friday. But we'll talk about where they differed anywhere. Chrissy, Jimmy, Vinny, Richie Bacciolari. What was heavily bet if one game has stood out above the fray or a couple games have stood above the fray. And, of course, also about this Tom Brady bettor, who obviously knew a little something-something on Thursday. Bet him at 50-1, the Bucks that is, to win it all. Then at 30-1, bet him a third time. When did Chrissy and them figure out that this guy might have known a little something? We'll talk to Chris later this hour. Greg Peterson will join us to talk brackets as well. And Jeff, we talked a little bit about this. First of all, we just saw a weather forecast pop up on the screen. St. Patrick's Day is Thursday, it should be pointed out. Same day as March Madness beginning. What could go wrong there? And the weather is perfection, which we have not had. By the way, even before the pandemic, we had a few years there. It used to be back in the day, you could count on the first weekend of March Madness being perfect pool weather here in town. And then, like, there was a 2-3 year stretch where it kind of sucked. It was really windy. It was cold. The pools were empty because you just couldn't be outside, which is great because you could stay in and watch a lot of basketball. But typically with my buddies, it was always this, well, we're going to the pool. We're going to watch the end of this game. What are we going to do? We're going to go back and forth. Or they get a cabana, try to watch it with the glare, you know, that kind of thing. But it is perfection this week. And please repeat the comment you made about Super Bowl versus this, because I think this is apropos.
No, look, this week, there's a different juice for this week.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's because it's mostly because there's 2 weeks between the AFC and NFC championship games and the Super Bowl. And there's only so many ways you can talk about one game.
So true.
This, we have, heck, these games start tomorrow. The playing games are tomorrow. We start with the barn burner of the two Texas schools tomorrow.
Hey, we got Corpus Christi alum listening to the show right now. They're not going to enjoy that for you.
Yeah, hey, look, the Islanders got it done for me on Saturday night in the Southland Championship, mm-hmm. So no complaint from me there. Islanders making their second appearance ever in the tournament. But no, Gil, this week there is a different level of anticipation, and I really mean what I said earlier, that the last real feeling tournament here was 2019.
Yeah.
Like, we're going, like, no tournament 2020. Last year, even though we had a tournament, felt bizarre because it was still really in the heat of COVID. This is going to feel like it did pre-COVID days, and that is just something I'm really excited for.
Did we have crowds last year? I don't even remember.
I watched the whole thing at home, so other than the fact that I was in that chair across from you when Oral Roberts beat Ohio State.
You're absolutely right. It's a different buzz than for the Super Bowl, and at least in terms of the preparation for it. And the other thing is, well, from this weekend, there was something else I want to ask you. Oh, Kent State and Akron. So in the MAC, so before the championship game, you had a bunch of guys on Kent State put out this video on social. And it wasn't a good look, right? They went pretty aggressively, if I can use that word, about the team they were about to play, Akron, and specific players in this video. And the conference came down and said, we're suspending you guys, four of you guys in this video. one of whom was a little legitimate contributor to the team, for the first half of the game against Akron. The first half actually ends up being competitive, and then Akron rolls them. Well, it ended up being a 9-point margin, I believe, at halftime. And then Akron really rolled them. Really, I mean, I think Kent State had a flirt at the beginning of the first half. Kent State got it all the way really quickly down to zero. It was tied, or they led by one, something like that. But then for the rest of the way, Akron just destroyed them. Did you agree with that punishment? Did you think
Nonsense.
They should have looked the other way?
Nonsense. Don't suspend the guys. Like, yeah. Was it stupid?
Yes. Sure.
Was it unnecessary? Yes. But it's the biggest game of these guys' career. Don't punish them for something that's in the end, like, we're going to forget about that happening. The only people we're going to remember are going to be the Akron team that is in the NCAA tournament playing UCLA in the first round now because of it, and the kids who got suspended on Kent State who, again, they had won. They were the hottest team in the country, arguably, going into that game.
All right. Then the Tom Brady news comes down yesterday. By the way, Preston Smith agreeing to a 4-year, $52.5 million extension with the Packers, by the way. So on the heels of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams comes Preston Smith there now as well. But they do release the Darius Smith. That's the casualty. He missed, of course, 16 games last year with the back injury. So they lose on Za'Darius. That's the big thing with the Packers. But the Tom Brady news comes over yesterday during Selection Sunday, and it was kind of like you couldn't help but laugh. First of all, when I got the text from you, I'm like, you have that moment where you're like, is this for real? And then you realize very quickly, oh, it's totally for real. Tom Brady deciding, I'm coming back. Now, my question to you is, do you take Tom Brady at his word? First of all, here's the Ben Fox, and we'll talk to Ben Fox tweet for here at Beeson. We'll talk to Chrissy Andrews about this later. That this past Thursday, one better at the South Point, Las Vegas, bet the Bucks to win the Super Bowl at 50-1, 30-1, and 25-1. That's per Chrissy. Bucks all the way down to 4-1 at South Point as their Tampa Bay liability now, quote, well into the six figures. They have a whole year to correct that liability. No one's crying here for the South Point. But, you know, Brady comes out and says after much reflection, the time is not now for me to retire. I should be on the field. Do you take him at his word that he just had a change of mind? He wanted to retire, had that feeling. And for those who are wondering, hey, did you guys get paid on your bets? Yes, we got paid on our bets. The bet was, will he announce his retirement? We all got paid on that. We crushed that bet. There's no giving back the money. We won that bet. Do you take him at his word, or do you believe that he retired with the express purpose of trying to force a trade to, let's say, the 49ers, his boyhood team? And then when he figured out that Bruce Arians and Glazer and the entire Buccaneers brass was like, yeah, that ain't happening, Tom. You're still under a contract for another year. Then and only then he was like, oh, okay, well, I never really wanted to retire anyway. So I'm coming back.
I think it's pretty obvious what happened here, Gil. I think that he was clearly trying to get out of Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to have done that was do what he did, kind of force their hand like Favre did in Green Bay. The big difference is the Green Bay Packers had Aaron Rodgers at that point, who they were ready to see play. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Kyle Trask. No disrespect to Kyle Trask, but come on now. But I really do think he was trying to. I don't know if it was San Francisco. I don't know if it was, heck, I mean, it could have even been the Dolphins. We saw that report from Florio and company a few weeks ago, too. But it feels like he was trying to force his way out of Tampa. But look, he's coming back. Ryan Jensen signed immediately, which was very important to the whole deal.
Yeah, for people who say, again, that the timing was, oh, he did it during the timing. No, he had to. He got to the point where he had to do it yesterday. He had to, because otherwise guys like Jensen were going to sign with another team today. So this brings us to Deshaun Watson now. And for those who missed it late last week, of course, all the criminal charges, not the civil charges, all the criminal charges against Deshaun Watson have gone by the wayside. Grand jury voted not to pursue them. Now, the upshot of that from a football standpoint is he could still get suspended by Roger Goodell in the NFL. And there's precedent for that, right? There's all kinds of precedent. Zeke Elliott, being precedent for that. Remember, it was Ezekiel Elliott. There were affidavits involved. Ezekiel Elliott probably shouldn't have gotten any suspension, but it was on the heels of the Josh Brown and the Ray Rice domestic issues, and so Roger Goodell sort of overcompensated. Zeke got 6 games. So Deshaun Watson could absolutely be suspended. Roger Goodell has that carte blanche to do so. But even with that possibility, once the criminal charges went out the door, legal term, then teams, that was good enough for teams to say, okay, let's inquire within. We want Deshaun Watson. Now, you can take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers off the board, which if you remember as far ago as 2 weeks ago, I was like, hey, Tampa Bay might seem like a good place for Deshaun Watson. That's done. And so you have 4 teams now. Saints and Panthers have already made trade offers for Deshaun Watson. So the Saints and the Panthers are already in on this. The other 2 teams that have been mentioned, the Seahawks and the Browns, connected rumor-wise as perhaps destinations for Deshaun Watson. Now, this better got ahead of the thing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, knew about the Tom Brady re-signing, one would assume. With Deshaun, would any of those 4 teams, by the way, Tampa Bay's Super Bowl odds go from 20 to 1 to 10 to 1 consensus-wise. Tom Brady becomes like the 4th short shot to win MVP at about 9 to 1-ish, somewhere in that pocket. Would any of those teams acquiring Deshaun Watson lead you to want to make a bet in any way? Cleveland would, right? Well, no, maybe not, because they're in a tough division.
Well, I'll say this. So Adam Schefter, while we were talking about this, Deshaun Watson expected to meet with Carolina and New Orleans over the next 48 hours, mm-hmm. amongst other teams per league sources. Watson wants to meet with these teams before figuring out which one he wants to go to. The answer to your question is no. I don't know. Look, Deshaun Watson not playing for a whole year makes it a little bit difficult to know exactly what version of him we're getting when he plays. Now, do I still expect him to be a top 10 quarterback? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But you put him on Carolina, that doesn't excite me. You put him on New Orleans.
If Tom Brady hadn't come back to Tampa Bay, that might have been a thing.
A little bit different with Brady. Again, Brady going division. Back to Tampa changes the entire NFC, where you go from, wow, it's only the Packers and the Rams being the only teams that have real quarterbacks to, okay, Tampa's right back
well,
in with
specifically
them.
With Carolina, it would affect the NFC South. You might have made an NFC South bet on Carolina.
Yeah, you might have tried to get in front of a New Orleans or Carolina, but no bets for me there, Gil.
Yeah, New Orleans or Carolina out the window with the NFC South now with Brady back. Cleveland, though, would you make a bet with that?
Nope.
No, because it's a tough division.
Tough division.
It's tough all the way around. Greg Peterson on the brackets next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, proud sponsors of this here radio program. Don't forget also that backed by popular demand, the VSiN Help Desk has returned. Our writers, hosts, and experts are here to answer your questions on all things college basketball. The VSiN Help Desk is here for you, not only for the big dance, but on the NIT, CBI, and CIT too. Submit your questions at VSiN.com/madness. It could be answered by our experts on air or on VSiN.com. Always picture the Help Desk, Jeff, being like you in a visor, frantically fielding different phones and talking in an old-timey voice.
No, it's the Burks. It's the Burks. It's Adam and Danny Burke.
Adam and Danny Burke.
I don't know if Danny's involved. I know Adam did a tremendous job with the Super Bowl help desk. I would imagine Adam is going to be front and center again on the March Madness help desk.
A number five seed has never won the tournament. Thanks for calling. You just go on to the next one. I got a thing.
We have the accountant's visor right here if we ever wanted, Gil.
Oh, there you go.
Sitting right next to me.
All right, before we get to Greg Peterson, I knew this moment in the show would happen at some point in the 2 hours. So the third round of the TPC is now concluded as of this moment. Third round of the TPC, remember, with all the weather delays this weekend, it is now completed. And so now the fourth round is about to begin, the fourth and final round, and they're going to complete this. They're going to try to complete this today. Looks like they will be able to. But right now, if you're looking to get your bets in, if you're looking to get any bets in here in tournament before the final round commences, now is your moment to do so. Right now, after three rounds, the leader is Anirban Lahiri, who is 9-under. He shot a 67 in both rounds one and three. He's got a one-stroke lead over both Paul Casey and Sam Burns. Oh, also over Sebastian Munoz and Doug Gim, pardon me. One-stroke lead over four golfers and a two-stroke lead over Tom Hoagie and Cameron Smith. By the way, I have Will Zalatoris at 38.5-1 pre-flop. He is three back among a group of golfers that is a bunch of golfers who are three back at 6-under. Seven golfers are three back. So, really crowded at the top with Lahiri and the one-stroke lead. If you look at the updated odds right now heading into round four, Burns is the short shot at plus 625. Of course, shop around. Burns, as I mentioned, just one stroke back, is at plus 625. Cameron Smith, plus 705, so 701. Paul Casey's also 701, one stroke back. Lahiri, the leader, you could still get at 10-1. So if you think Lahiri is going to maintain this, you can get him at about 10-1. Seabass, Sebastian Munoz, also 10-1. Shane Lowry, 13-1. Tom Hoagie, I mentioned, 13-1. By the way, my pre-flop play of Zalatoris, who I got 38.5-1. He's still 20.5-1. Not a terrible number. Hoagie, 13-1. Gim, I mentioned, 12-1. So anyway, those are up there right now. Now's your moment to bet those. By the way, Daniel Berger, who was just been up and down and up and down in this tournament, he is now a full five strokes back, but you can get him at 80-1 for the just roller coaster ride that is Dan Berger on this particular golf tournament. Anyway, that's the moment to make your bets. Let's talk some more college basketball. Let's bring him in, of course, from the Greg Peterson Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Coast to Coast podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, that is. It's Greg Peterson. How you doing, Hoops?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Gil.
Let's start with the Elite Eight. Who you got? Forget the Final Four for a second. Who do you have in your Elite Eight?
Well, we've got a matchup between UConn and Texas Tech in one side of the bracket. We've got UCLA versus Kentucky in another side, Kansas versus UCLA, and then we've got Arizona versus Villanova.
Wow. Jeff put his fist up in the air when you said UConn. UConn?
Oh, hold on. Greg, you who does Kansas against the UCLA you had twice there? Who's Kansas draw again?
Kansas versus USC,
I should say.
Oh, so USC.
So great. So, Gil, this is interesting because we talked.
Wait, who did he say Kansas versus? Who did he say?
UCLA at first, but USC is okay. The seventh seed in that Midwest. It's interesting because Greg is the first person that we've talked to that really I've talked to, period, that doesn't have pure chalk into his Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Fascinating, Hoops.
So you have the first one you said was UConn versus, say again, Texas Tech?
Texas Tech, yep.
Okay, all right. Greg, you okay? You look tired. You all right, man? You've been sleeping at all? Okay?
Oh, I am good. I am just dealing with a contact in my right eye right now.
Just making sure. Okay, we talked about this. I'll ask you some of the same things I asked Matt Cox earlier. Did you feel like there was anything to really quibble about? Indiana being in a play-in game, A&M getting snubbed here. Did you think there was any glaring mistake made by the committee?
No, I thought that it was just fine. I mean, if you're going to whine about Texas or if you're going to whine about Xavier, well, Xavier wound up losing 8 out of the last 10 games. You wind up losing to Butler in the conference tournament. You get what you deserve there. If you're Texas A&M, you wound up going 500 in conference during the season. You get what you deserve there. So there's just a bunch of these teams that if you're on the bubble, you're on the bubble for a reason. The only thing to maybe gripe about is the fact that Duke winds up getting a 2 seed, Tennessee winds up getting a 3 seed, but there wasn't really too much there. And I'm personally someone that I don't really get into bracketology too much, so yeah. I'm not one of those people that was listening or like, oh, this team has a bunch of quad one wins or anything like that. I really take myself out of it. Just one of those cases in which just give us a bracket. I will handicap from there. When it comes to the griping, I'll leave that to other people.
Okay. The point of that was to say there isn't much to gripe about on this. By the way, I'm saying the highest KenPom rated team out, Oklahoma, 30th in KenPom, Wake 37th, Oklahoma State not eligible, 39th, A&M 43rd in KenPom, first four out in terms of KenPom, first four out net, Dayton, Oklahoma, SMU, and Texas A&M, just for thoroughness's sake. All right, so the round, well, let's start with the first four in. Do you like any plays in the first four in? Who am I asking? You like plays in everything. What do you like here, first four?
I think that Wright State being a very small number is something that is a little bit offline, because I think a lot of people are forgetting that Wright State's campus is within about 25 miles of Dayton. That is going to be very massive. They play at the Nutter Center out there in the great state of Ohio, and seeing them as short of a number as they are, I think that that's a little bit surprising. I think that you've got yourself some relatively solid value with that one. And I mean, there's a reason why this is a very high total, because you've got yourself a team that has been able to do a very solid job of being able to pump in there the points. And Bryant, they've got the number one scorer in all of college basketball in Peter Kiss. So, and I want to say my total at 153.5. So I'm relatively in lockstep with regards to the total. Made Wright State a 5.5-point favorite. I think that the Indiana versus Wyoming game is interesting, because if you're looking at the metrics, they like this Indiana team a little bit more. Every time I wind up taking a look at Indiana, I leave a little bit disappointed, aside from what we wound up seeing in the Big Ten tournament. In the Big Ten tournament, you did wind up seeing Indiana start to put it all together, but I'm starting to wonder, was that maybe a product of the Big Ten just not necessarily being that great? We wound up seeing Indiana reach four in a lot of spots last night. That's where they're sitting right now, and I think that Wyoming's going to be able to get the job done outright, and whoever out of this Wyoming versus Indiana game does wind up advancing, I think either of these teams is going to be able to win against St. Mary's. I think that both of these teams match up very well there. When it comes to what you're able to get out of that 11 seed game, the Rutgers versus Notre Dame game, I like Rutgers in that game. I felt like they should have been more like a 3-point favorite. I just take a look at Notre Dame. They're playing absolutely no defense right now, right around 150th with regards to points allowed on a per possession basis. A relatively solid 3-point shooting team, but take a look at some of the guys that, or you take a look at some shots that these guys wind up taking, and they're just not necessarily very efficient. They take a lot of mid-range jumpers. I'm not necessarily a fan of that. Caleb McConnell's able to generate 2.3 steals per contest for this Rutgers team. And then when it comes to the Texas Southern versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi game, made that number one. I feel like Texas Southern has a very, very slight advantage over Texas A&M Corpus Christi, but Corpus Christi is a team that, despite playing in a Southland in which you wind up playing with your hair on fire because it's so up-tempo, they rank in the top 100 with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis. Texas Southern bursts onto the scene with them being able to get a win over Florida earlier in the season, but Florida turned out to be a bunch of frauds, and hey, they're going to be playing in the NIT without their coach. That's going to be a lot of fun, but that said, I want to make him this number one, so I'm willing to take the four, but Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
There you go, Islanders fans. We have some Corpus Christi former baseball players that we know who listened to the show. They're going to be happy to hear that. By the way, Wright State, 13 miles from the venue, Greg. We checked. We Googled it while you were talking there. Real quick, 30 seconds. We'll get you a round of 64 thoughts ATS here after the break, but double-digit, you might have hinted at a couple right there, but double-digit seeds that you think could very well get to the Sweet 16, real quick.
Yep, I was mentioning it a little bit earlier. Whoever winds up coming out of that 12-seed line, mm-hmm. that is going to be a really interesting one. And then how about the South Dakota State Jackrabbits? Because I think that they're taking on Providence in round one, and then you play against an Iowa team that – playing no defense whatsoever.
See, I'll go back to it. I think this network is going to be inundated with everybody going South Dakota State this week for valid reasons. And I almost feel like, just intuitively, the pendulum has swung too much on it. Just a thought. We'll see. South Dakota State Providence, one of the more interesting round of 64 games. We'll get Greg's ATS thoughts on that round next at Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to get in shape but having trouble staying motivated? Make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit with zero sugar and an unbeatable blend of vitamins, nutrients, and caffeine. It's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. Go to 5hourenergy.com to find over 15 flavors to choose from, with flavors like grape, tropical burst, cherry, blue raspberry, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. Get a 5-hour energy today. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here. Greg Peterson joins us once again to talk brackets with us. Again, after the show today, Wes Reynolds, Jeff Parles, and I doing the Beating the Book podcast version, bracket by bracket, ATS and bracket advancement. We'll do it for each and every game. Might be 2 seconds worth of thoughts on a game if they want to pass ATS. But we'll advance brackets for the round of 64. We'll talk, obviously, tournament history. We'll talk all things March Madness on that podcast. Tomorrow on the show, Kevin Harlan joins us, Jeff. Yes? How about, wait a minute. Kevin Harlan and Jeff Parles on the same show. Parles a young Harlan, by the way. How many times have I said that on the show? That can't happen. We're going to have him in the same place at the same time. That's a first. And then Clark Kellogg joins us on Wednesday. Clark Kellogg, part of the CBS selection show that I believe he's done with Greg Gumbel and Seth Davis now for like 18 years in a row. Something like that.
I was going to say probably at least my entire lifetime it's felt
it's
like.
Eight, Greg Gumbel said 18 yesterday. I don't know if it was those three specifically for 18 years in a row, because I think Zerbiak was part of it at one point, but Greg Gumbel's done it for 18 years in a row, I believe, with Kellogg.
Great week, Gil, as always. Great. This is as good as it gets.
So much fun. Then you have Calipari ranting about it every year, too. Greg Peterson joins us once again for the Greg Peterson Experience and the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. How long is your Coast to Coast Hoops podcast going to be today, Greg?
Today it's not actually going to be too bad. I wound up doing my bracket special that wound up coming up at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. We're going to have a couple of NIT games to be able to break down. We're going to be able to break down the first four. I'll answer your questions regarding how I wind up handicapping the NIT and these other lesser tournaments. They're having a heck of a time finding teams for this rebranded CIT. I think it's something like the Basketball Classic or something like that. So that's going to be very fun, very entertaining. So it's probably going to be less than 90 minutes.
Do we have an NIT bracket yet? Do we have that?
We do have an NIT bracket, and I've already got my handicap lines for all the first-round games.
Who do you like winning it?
I did not fill out an NIT bracket. I'm just going to be going round by round personally.
Oh,
whoever does
man.
Wind up winning it, that's going to be absolutely terrific. But with that said, we're just going to be going round by round. I think that the Oregon versus Utah State game is going to be really interesting. I'm seeing Utah State coming out as 4.5 to a 5-point favorite. I just think that this is a spot in which you've got Dana Altman having his Oregon team just really fired up to play in this game. So I honestly do think that you've got some really good value with Oregon in this spot, especially catching like 4.5, 5 points on the road against the Utah State team that they do a solid job down low, but at the same time, it's still a case in which you've got so much talent with Oregon. I think that they've got a big time coaching edge. So that is going to be an interesting game.
Yeah. I mentioned the first four, the top four rated KenPom teams that didn't make the big dance. I stopped just short of Utah State, who's 44th in KenPom. Jeff, you wanted to say something about the NIT?
Because
this is a market that I enjoy betting. To win the NIT, because you think they will be. You got it. Here's the thing about the NIT: you have to be properly motivated. Rick Pitino's not going to let them not be motivated. The young Gaels, Iona, one of the first week of conference tournament big surprises in terms of getting knocked out of their conference tournament. I believe it was Ryder who knocked him out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And I think I joined you like a month or two ago, and I think that I wound up saying Texas A&M was the team that had a shot to be able to go far in this thing. So you know what? There might be value there.
Yeah, or does A&M, talking about the motivation, or is A&M so distraught over not going to the big dance where they're just like, we don't care about this thing? I mean,
I think it's so interesting because I think that Buzz Williams, with just the coach that he is, he's going to have these guys fired up.
Yeah, okay. All right, should be interesting. All these tournaments running at the same time is a fabulous thing. Not the same nights, but over the same course of the weeks. Okay, round of 64, your favorite ATS bets.
I wound up taking double digits with Akron. I felt like this line should have been a little bit closer to 10.5. On Selection Sunday, we were seeing this come out right around 16, and this has settled in a little bit more. You're not going to be finding 16 anymore on Akron, but you're still going to be finding somewhere in the neighborhood of like 14, some places 14.5. This is an Akron team that is just pounding teams into oblivion at this point. They're doing a great job of making things very slow, very grimy. They've given up fewer than 70 points in every one of their games ever since the beginning of the month of February. They've got a guy by the name of Enrique Freeman who's been able to give you 13 points, right around 11 rebounds per game. Eli Ali is someone that shoots right in the neighborhood of about 38% from three-point range. You've got a new UCLA team that I think that they wind up getting the job done. I like what I saw out of Johnny Juzang in that title game of the Pac-12 tournament. Looks like he's getting back to 100%. And I mean, I think that UCLA gets the job done, and I want to mention it. I think that UCLA is going to be able to make a run into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I just think that this number has gotten up a little bit too lofty. Then if you take a look at the Chattanooga versus Illinois game, Illinois just is not good whenever Andre Curbelo is out there on the floor. Cooper Watson of Busting Brackets wanted tweeting this out. Illinois is 3-6 straight up when Andre Curbelo plays at least 20 minutes of the game. They're 13-1 when he doesn't play at all. It is absolutely insane the way that this man has torpedoed Illinois basketball. You've got a Chattanooga team that they've got a guy by the name of Malachi Smith. He is from the state of Illinois, and he is absolutely terrific. 20.5 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, shoots over 40% from 3-point range. Chattanooga catching 7.5 is something that I'm looking at. I want to personally taking the points. I have yet to get frisky on the money line, but at the same time, with regards to my bracket, I've got Chattanooga being able to survive in advance. So those are two underdogs that I'm in on.
You know how they flash on the team when they appear on the bracket? It's a little delayed on the broadcast, and then like three seconds later, Chattanooga has the look of a team, and this has no science behind it whatsoever, just sort of an eye test. Nuga looked like a sort of team when they saw that they were up against Illinois where it almost was like, oh, and we're winning this kind of feeling that they had out there. They appear to be a super confident team, of course, getting in here on the buzzer beater of all buzzer beaters, David John Baptiste fading to his left with nothing.
Probably your best March moment thus far.
Probably, right? So far, I would say. Yeah, that's the moment so far. Hopefully we'll get a couple more of those buzzer beaters come later this week and beyond. We always talk about giant killers and the characteristics of a giant killer in March Madness. Again, three-point shooting success and volume. Slow pace is another way of getting there where you limit the sample size of possessions. Really a great way to make up for the talent deficit. Makes a lot of sense. Let's look at it the opposite way. Because wherever there's a giant killer, there is giant carnage. And so let's look at the teams that are at the top. You know, doesn't have to be at the very top, Gonzaga. But of the teams that are conventionally named as contenders, who is the one, and really with matchups too, because the answer could be, oh, well, I think it's this team, but they do have a favorable draw. Which would you say are the teams that are most ripe for giant carnage that also have a very shaky bracket?
Well, I think that Purdue is going to be able to get by in round number one against Yale. Yale is a team that they should not have been on the 14 seed line. And Yale has Azir Swain giving you 17 points. And past him, you've got absolutely nothing else. Yale is a team that doesn't have a single guy that gives you at least 5 rebounds per game. Good luck going up against Travion Williams along Zach Edey. I think that there is going to be a lot of carnage in that game. Now, after you wind up getting outside the round of 64, then I think that Purdue is going to be running into some issues. But I take a look at that Purdue team, them being able to draw Yale in the round of 64. I think that they are really going to be able to bludgeon this Bulldogs team. So I think that that's going to be a little bit of an issue. I know that there's a lot of people that like New Mexico State, but I take a look at this UConn team. I think that with the way that they wind up hitting the glass, having RJ Cole, a very good point guard, I think that they are going to be able to get the job done as well. So I think that those are two relative bulletproof teams too. Teams that they're going to try to pull an upset, and I just don't think that there's any chance that they wind up going out in the first round.
We had a lot of disagreement on this first thing on the show today about which is the hardest bracket and which is the easiest. In fact, we were like almost polar opposites, Jeff and I, with Matt Cox. What did you think was the hardest in the end and the easiest?
I think that the hardest is Gonzaga's road to the Final Four. I mean, you have to go through Memphis in the round of 32. I've got them going out to UConn in the round of 16. And if you get by that, you have to go up against Duke and Texas Tech, two teams that played against Gonzaga this year. Duke took them down outright, and Texas Tech wound up playing in a game which neither team wound up being able to get past 65. And then the easiest road, that'd be Kansas. I mean, you take a look at Auburn on how they played outside the state of Alabama. They have not been good. Wisconsin relies upon Johnny Davis and Johnny Davis only. Iowa might wind up being their toughest game in that bracket, but I think that South Dakota State is who they wind up playing in the Sweet 16. So I take a look at Kansas's road. I think that it's really easy, and for Gonzaga, did them no favors whatsoever.
Yeah, you generally agree with us. You generally agree with us. I think the hardest is either the West or the East, one or the other. But we were getting opposite answers earlier on the show, which I found pretty surprising. Greg, get some sleep, man. I know it's your time of year, but you got some sleep so you can enjoy every moment later this week. All right, man. We appreciate you being on.
Absolutely, and we got to the madness an hour earlier with daylight savings time.
Yes, we did. An excellent point as always, Greg. Thank you for sharing. Greg Peterson, everybody, at GUnit_81 on the Twitter machine, hosts the Greg Peterson Experience, Coast to Coast Hoops, rather, his podcast. Coming back, Chrissy Andrews, all of this Tom Brady stuff next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay, tennis picks, because somebody was asking here on Twitter. So make good on those. Have three plays, one on the lady side at Indian Wells, two on the men's side. I'm taking Marie Buskova at +116 over Veronika Kudermetova. Buskova, as a slight dog, is the one pick on the lady side. That's Marie Buskova. We'll have these in the newsletter because I know people can be like, how do you spell it? And then on the men's side, Jensen Brooksby, +131 over Stefanos Tsitsipas. I think Brooksby can get it done today against one of the world's top five players. Brooksby at +131 is a play. And Casper Ruud at -123 over Nick Kyrgios is play number three. So Buskova, Brooksby, and Ruud, your three tennis plays. Oh, we didn't have any mic on. Ladies and gentlemen, in studio. We thought he was going to be on the phone, but he's in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chrissy Andrews, my mishpocha. Yes, I went against Tsitsipas and Kyrgios. It's an anti-Greek morning.
You're what, are you, anti-Hellenic?
Except for you. We're not anti-you.
Okay.
Chrissy Andrews, my mishpocha, everybody. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino. Let's start with the Tom Brady thing. I just want to say this. Field Yates had the great tweet yesterday, again, for those who were unaware of the history, of course, of Tom Brady. His last, what is it, the last... 8 years or so in the league.
It's not nine seasons.
Nine seasons. 2013, lose playoff game. 2014, win Super Bowl. 2015, lose playoff game. 2016, win Super Bowl. 2017, lose playoff game. 2018, win Super Bowl. You just sensing a pattern here? 2019, lose playoff game. 2020, win Super Bowl. 2021 lose playoff game, and well, what do you know? He's back for 2022. And how about the guy who won? Congratulations to the person who paid $518,000+. This is just what, Saturday night at the auction for Tom Brady's, what he thought was Tom Brady's last touchdown ball. Oh boy. Oh boy. So
you're not going to ask me about my Super Bowl bets that I took on Tampa Bay.
So this is what I'm getting at. So Ben Fox tweeted this. That you took a $50,000 bet.
No,
50-1. Pardon me. 50-1 bet on Tom on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. This is on Thursday.
Yes.
So when that bet was made, were you like, what a schmuck?
No. No. I mean, first of all, let's go on record.
Yes.
Don't ever cry for the bookmaker. We took a bet.
We're not crying.
Yeah, we took a bet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I said, the other guy's betting that Brady's gonna be back. Okay. And I had no feelings one way or the other. Yeah, I really didn't. I just thought, I saw 50-1. I actually just rearranged my Super Bowl prices that morning because we had, Rodgers was coming back and, Wentz went.
Not that one.
Sorry.
Wilson to the Broncos.
Wilson, Wentz, I didn't move that number at all.
He moved it backwards.
Yeah. So, I thought things were maybe selling that. So I rearranged and I put them up 50-1, and a guy bet me, kind of lights went on a little bit.
Okay. When he did the 30-1 after that.
Well, 30 was a small bet. He came in and that's the one I was looking back. He bet like 500 or 600, I think, at 30-1.
Oh.
I thought that was, kind of. So then he bet it, and I went to 25, because, it was a bet, not much, but bet. Then he came in again and bet the 25 pretty heavy. So I'm not sure who he's running for or whatever, but, that was the pattern.
At that point, you must have said to yourself, oh, he must know a little something.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And then you crashed it down, and you're like, I'm not taking any more bets.
I went to 15, which is pretty low. I mean, and like I said, listen, and every, the media makes a big deal out of this. Like I told Ben last night, right now I'm out, well into six figures. The Super Bowl's not till next February.
I got
11 months to figure this. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
It's a fascinating stuff.
But this guy got a hell of a bet. There's no doubt
about
it.
He did, for sure. I mean, this is, you
not as good as the guy that sold the football for $518,000, but he still got a hell of a bet.
The thing about the Tom Brady thing is, it was only 2 years ago where people got ahead of the, people who were smart enough to get a, who guessed correctly that Tampa Bay would get Tom Brady, got ahead of that too.
Yeah.
So this is like twice in a span of 2 years where we've had this incident with Tom Brady.
Well, again, and I'm going to pump my book naturally, what the hell. But if you read my book, and I did everything in real time, I didn't go back and correct, when he was on the free agent market, I said, I'm not sure what kind of a market there is for, a 40, whatever he was, 42-year-old quarterback. I don't think the bidding's going to be that hot and heavy. Meanwhile, when it came to the Super Bowl, I bet him to win the MVP. It was a nice little score for me on that, so.
Tom Brady, who's going to make good on his promise to play till the age of 45, on retiring. Okay, and then Vinny was here on Friday, and we know, so the story, for those who missed it again, is that you and Vinny and Jimmy and Richie Baccellari are back there making you have your power ratings, you've got your numbers, the brackets come out. Mm-hmm. What games had the biggest disagreement between the group of you?
Oh, wow. Well, we had a couple, and I brought all my notes with me here. The Kentucky game. Vinny made it 17.5. Richie made it 15. I made it 18. So a 3-point margin there. Providence, South Dakota State.
Oh, I'm glad you said that one.
What was
the difference there?
Vinny made Providence 4. Richie made South Dakota State 1.
Wow. So
that's a 5-point difference.
That's a massive difference.
The Gonzaga game, Richie made it 20. I made it 25. And, we're 23.5, so right in the middle of the two of those.
And as you like to say, whatever you decide, your opinion's good for one bet.
Yeah, guys come, they were firing. I mean, it was intense, but a lot of fun, too.
$10,000 a pop, Vinny told us.
At the counter,
on Friday,
We had a couple guys betting us $10,000, A lot of guys on the phones, on the app, we take $3,000. a lot of guys betting us 3,000. You know, that one, because those go right through.
Was there one that you saw particularly one-way action on once you posted them?
Yeah, let me get to this one. How about this? Okay. UCLA and Akron. This was our biggest discrepancy. I made UCLA 20. Richie made them 13.
Ooh.
We're down to 14.
What did you post in the end?
I posted 16.
And then you're down to 14.
And I'm down to 14. So, yeah, there. I mean, we got to – but, I looked this morning. I think we have one game where we need for like 12 or 13,000. All the other ones, we had two-way action. I mean, that's why I got to give Richie and Vinny a pat on the back. I mean, their numbers were right on. You know, and my numbers are like okay. But those guys, like I said, they've been following it since October 15th. As soon as these guys went to camp, I started following it probably in the last month. Yeah, so their numbers, I think, were sharper than mine. And I give them credit beforehand, and that's I weigh that when I open the numbers. They did a great job. So even the games where we got 10,000 on one side, a couple of games, we got 10 on one side, 10 on the other side, 3, 4, 6 on one side, 7, 8 on the other side. You know, so we got a ton of action, mostly two-way. Like I said, I think we have one game where we're out about 12 or 13,000.
Do you remember which game that was?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Would you say that was your best quick reaction to posting numbers ever in for March Madness?
I'd say so, yeah. Yeah. Because one year we had Derek in studio, and he bet 10,000 a game.
Right.
That was pretty cool, I got to tell you, because we had, 32 games? He's betting 10,000 or all. That's a lot of action. But the way that the way the state regs are, you can't open to one guy. So we had to put it up. Mm-hmm. He bet, and then we moved it. But kind of scared some other guys off. You know what I mean? This one we opened to the whole world. So, I mean, they were here in force last night and on the app, like I said. So
maybe you mentioned this already, but which has moved the most since you posted?
Oh, man, moved the most since I posted. Well, I'm looking at a couple here.
By the way, how heated does it get back there? You guys call each other names when you have like a big discrepancy, or what happens?
Only the same names we call each other at poker. I think we played on Tuesday night.
Does Vinny get chesty with you at all? Does that happen?
Vinny doesn't get chesty. No. Richie sometimes gets a little heated.
He gets up there. Yeah.
Probably. Let's see, I'm looking at San Francisco. We opened San Francisco 2.5. We're at Murray 1.5. Where's the Ohio State?
So that's we were talking about that earlier. That the favorite has flipped there.
Yeah, favorite has flipped. How about where's the Ohio State game? I'm trying to find out. That one, I think favorite flipped. Yeah, we open Ohio State 1.5. We're at Loyola 1. We were at Loyola 1.5. Somebody took back some Ohio State.
Loyola, which I think is like 24 KenPom or something like that. Let me make sure.
Yeah, I don't have that in my notes here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But overall, like I said, my guys did a hell of a job.
Okay. We got to run, Chris. I'm sorry.
All right.
Time's up.
That was quick.
That's all we got. Okay. Tom Brady and NCAA.
I'm on with you tonight, by the way.
Oh, okay. On primetime
action. Kelly got me 4:30 maybe.
Hey,
somewhere.
Man. We'll do this all over again then.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't
there goes my nap this afternoon.
I don't do the guest for that show. There goes your nap. Welcome to my life. We've done all we could do. Lombardi Line next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.